Hi, good evening, everybody, and I want to welcome you to the first show of Get Caught Thriving, where we talk about how you can take your business and your life to the levels you want to be at. The show's guest tonight is Andrew Cavanaugh. Now, when I started researching him, I was amazed, truly amazed, by his history. And I found out that he owned his first business at the age of 4 years old. I mean, come on, at four, I was still running around outside asking, you know, where's the mud pie I just made? He owned his own business at four. He grew up in a family of small business owners. He was running six small businesses while he was 24 years old. Now, his experiences, he's a nationally syndicated newspaper health columnist. He's been speaking for over 2 years, and I know he's done 40-plus shows across Australia at different radio stations. Now he's online, and he's doing some amazing things there. Foremost, he's a copywriter. He's a savvy marketer, and he's helping marketers bridge the online-offline gap, which is what we're going to be talking about tonight. So before I even go any further, let me introduce you to Andrew Cavanaugh. Andrew, are you there?
I'm here, Rhonda.
Wonderful.
I should point out that I was actually 2 years on a radio show that went to 40 different radio stations. So it was one show going to 40 different radio stations. But I've also been on at least a dozen different shows.
So I just want to get some information. You grew up in a house of entrepreneurs, business owners. You were running a business at four. What were you doing at 4 years old?
That's just a funny story my mother likes to tell me, actually. I thought the listeners would like that one. When I was four, I think our mother gave us like 5 cents pocket money every week or something. And we didn't have any interest in money, like four. I didn't really know what it meant. But one day I decided I was going to make these chipmunk hats, which was, you remember Donald Duck?
I do.
Yeah, and his little duck, I can't remember what their names were now, Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Yes.
And they had this group called the Chipmunk Group. They used to go to where they wore these chipmunk hat made out of chipmunk fur. Well, I thought they were pretty cool, so I thought I'd make some. And so I got an old plastic ice cream container, punched a hole in it with scissors. Of course, the ice cream containers were blue, but that didn't matter. I got some brown crayon to give it the full chipmunk effect. Got a bit of blank paper and scribble on that with a bit of brown crayon and jam that in the back. And that was my first chipmunk hat, and I sold it to my brother for 5 cents. All his pocket money. But I'm pretty sure I didn't quite have the whole quality control thing worked out back in those days, because a few minutes later he decided he wanted his 5 cents back. And after about 5 minutes of a pretty vicious argument, I threw his money back at him. So I had a lot to learn about customer service back then. My mother still tells that story.
And I'm sure that she'll keep telling that. That is amazing. At 4 years old, you already knew you were going to be an entrepreneur. You already knew that you were going to be running businesses because your mind started working that way at that age. I love that. That's a great story. Now, you've also run six businesses up until you were 24, and those were mostly offline businesses, I'm assuming.
They were all offline because online hadn't been invented yet.
It
would have been a bit hard to run an online business back then. Basically, I started with a tiny stall at the night markets in Cairns, which back then was gravel and metal bars. And I taught my mother and her loaning me $2,000 to buy stock, which basically I met some guys there who told me, yeah, you just buy stuff down at the local discount store and just keep trying stuff until something sells, which is an amazingly great marketing lesson, because what they were doing was they were working out what the market wanted. And one of the biggest secrets to marketing is to find a hungry market that's easy to get to and sell them what they want. So that's exactly what I did. I bought all this stuff at discount stores, and we were selling it to tourists, and when something really took off, then you go and find a proper supplier. Doing that, I went from one store to two stores, three stores, four stores. I think at one stage I had five or six stores, but also we had a shop. And we also had, we made sandals. We were selling sandals and they all fell apart. And they were horrible things. Most of the tourists would leave town in a couple of days. You knew if they didn't leave town the next day, sandals would break. So we started making, I thought this is ridiculous. So I started making my own sandals, worked out how to do it pretty much by myself. Started making sandals and started a little, not a very big business, but it's still going. I'm just trying to think how long ago. It's 16 years that business has been making, my business partner at the time has been running it since then. 16 years it's been making a living.
Wow, so it sounds like you definitely got the quality control issues handled from the first business to the sandals. So that's
good
to know.
But I think the important lesson to learn there is that the market came first. One of the biggest things I noticed about people who went, this is a huge lesson I learned from market stalls. People would come into the market, and the people who did the best were the ones who came into the market and decided they had a certain amount of money they wanted to make, and they kept testing and testing different things until they found something that actually sold. The people who didn't do really well were people who came up with some fabulous product idea sitting on their kitchen table and came in and then just tried to impose the product idea on the market. And they were generally people who didn't do very well unless they suddenly got smart and worked out, hang on a minute, what if I make this change and that change and this seems to be what people want. So the most important thing is to work with the market rather than trying to impose your own ideas upon the market.
Okay, and that is sage advice for online marketers for sure. I mean, I know I struggled. I still struggle with that idea. I have to stop myself each time I see something. Oh, that's a wonderful product. Wait a minute, who's going to buy it? Where's the market?
Exactly.
Well,
the real secret is to start with the market first. So instead of looking for product, you just look for markets. You're looking for hungry, cashed-up markets. Simple as that. Then you create a product that they want, or fill a need that they want.
And that's truly how it has to be done online in order for you to see the profits that you want to see. I mean, no one wants to see small profits online on a regular basis. Yes, they're good when they first start coming in, but we always want the profit to grow.
Yeah, I did a full one-hour free. You can get it at copywritingone.com. I did a full one-hour free audio on how to find a hungry market online.
Okay, and could you give us the URL?
Oh, sorry. It's copywritingone.com. That's the number one after copywriting.
Okay, so that's copywritingone.com, and that's where our listeners can find a full audio on...
Full free audio, how to find a hungry market online.
How to find a hungry market online. Now that does take us to, we've talked a bit about your offline marketing and the fact that you learned that you found the market first before you tried to offer them a product, see what they wanted to buy, and that's what you sold them. Now, we know that that's how it works online, or at least that's how we should be working it online. But what actually brought you online?
At the time, I was a health writer. What I didn't mention, when I was on 40 radio stations across Australia, I was talking about natural diet and lifestyle changes people can make to improve their health. I was one of the world's leading diet and lifestyle authorities, which is an awfully hard title to handle. But I wrote a book called Undersize Me, which is basically... was the reverse. If you remember Morgan Spurlock and Supersize Me, where he ate McDonald's food for 30 days straight?
Right, right.
Undersize Me was the reverse. And, well, I put what I'd been doing at the time is I was working with clients all the time, basically telling them how to eat well and exercise well and get their emotional health right. And I noticed that after, it was usually about 3 weeks, people started getting well, and often it didn't make any difference what the illness was. These were people who were the back end of the health system, regular health system, and often were really, really sick and had been to other natural health therapists, had hung upside down with yak food on their soles and you know, it every wacky thing you can imagine. And after 3 weeks, they're getting better just doing everything I said. And as soon as I saw Morgan Spurlock's documentary, Supersize Me, I thought, well, that'd be great. I could just show them how to do the reverse. They were doing everything wrong, like eating only McDonald's every day for a month. And Spurlock got really sick doing that. If you remember the documentary, it's the second biggest selling documentary in history, and he got sick as a dog, and his cholesterol shot through the roof, his blood pressure shot through the roof. He had heart palpitations in the middle of the night once. And I'm watching this, and I'm thinking, wow, that's really amazing, because when you eat right, do the right things, I used to send people to doctors to get their cholesterol checked and everything. And they used to, because we actually did the physical checks, 30 days later when they went back to the doctor, they could see, hey, my cholesterol went down, my blood pressure went down, you know. And I explained scientifically in this book why Spurlock got sick the way he did it and how doing the opposite and exactly what to do to reverse disease, reverse all those problems. So after writing the book, I needed a way to sell it. And basically I created an online website to sell the book from, which remarkably pulled it over 10%, which in the health field is very unusual. But that's another story in itself. So that's how I ended up going online. I was selling my health information.
Okay, so you were looking for the market online, and you built your first website to sell the book Undersize Me.
That's right. Very badly, I might have. It had Yahoo pop-ups on it, all sorts of things all over. It still pulled at 10%. It was a great piece of copy.
How long ago did you build your first website for Undersize Me?
I think that would be now nearly 5 years. I'd been online for a couple of years before that, looking at online marketing and so forth. So I wasn't exactly a newbie when I built the website. I understood the basic concepts of online marketing. I just had no idea how to do it myself.
Okay.
It's a big secret if you're listening to this and you haven't actually put a website online, but you know a lot about internet marketing. It's just put one online, because the process of that is a huge confidence builder. Sorry, Rhonda.
No, that's quite all right. That makes perfect sense. I even now with the advent of blogs, I mean, blogs are everywhere and WordPress is fairly easy to set up. You got to do it. If you want to move forward with this, you're going to have to do this. So, yeah,
exactly.
To learn anything, you have to actually go out and take action and do it. So you've got your first website set up. You've got it converting at approximately 10%, even with Yahoo pop-ups.
If I hadn't known what I was doing, I would have made a lot of money out of that website, but I really didn't. And then I went off on getting free publicity, which became very successful, obviously, if it was on 40 radio stations across Australia. It's actually some of the areas that I teach when I do my email coaching. If you're dealing with small businesses, free publicity is just a fabulous way of getting free exposure and increasing your credibility in the marketplace.
Okay, well, could we? I know we'll talk some more about that here in just a moment, because there's something very interesting that Andrew put out New Year's Day that has really, really taken the market by storm. And I mean, it's been building for quite a while, but the timing that you had with this was just amazing to me. And so you also mentioned that you were converting this page at 10% because you had some very good copy.
Yes.
Which seems to me probably is what took you into the whole idea of copywriting.
You're absolutely right. After a while of of helping people get better and so forth, the pressure of that and the sheer work I was doing, I was studying, I was researching all the medical journals and, you know, doing about 20 to 80 hours a week just research, on top of dealing with clients, on top of running a website, on top of going on radio, on top of writing weekly health columns. So I was basically just getting burnt out with it. And in studying copywriting, I discovered that people were getting paid an enormous amount of money to write sales letters, and I was looking at these sales letters and thinking, I can see what's wrong. I have huge sales experience myself. So I understood the sales process. And generally speaking, if I look at a sales letter, unless it's really good, I can immediately see what's wrong with it, because it's really obvious if you understand the sales process. And so I thought, well, maybe I should just take a little bit of a rest from the health writing thing and look back at it objectively. I wasn't entirely happy also with the results I was getting from the mass exposure. You know, nearly everyone I dealt with one-on-one got better, but I wasn't getting anything like those sort of results when I was going to a much larger audience, and I wanted to work out a way of doing that better. So I did it very strategically. I decided I'd work with business marketing clients, because then I could develop a big network of my own health consultants and teach them how to market themselves effectively. So I went into writing copy for business marketing.
Okay, so you started writing copy for other health consultants and health businesses.
I started writing copy for business marketing experts, not health experts.
Okay, for business marketing experts.
Yeah.
Okay. And that brought you, well, stopped basically doing the interviews, stopped doing
That's
the health
right.
writing that you were previously doing.
I stopped actively teaching people about health. I still do a little of it, and of course my fiance is full on into it, so I haven't given up on it or anything like that. It's just a, what they call it, a hiatus or something, when a university professor goes off for a couple of years. They have a name for it. In the entrepreneurial world, we don't give it a name. We just say, oh, you're just jumping onto something else.
Right.
But,
I think they call it ADD for us entrepreneurs, actually.
Well, it really isn't. There is a strategy behind it. The strategy is that gaining all these contacts in the business marketing field, I'm actually also getting contacts who help me to train, when I develop a team of health consultants, help me to train those health consultants in how to market themselves more effectively. So there is actually an overall strategy behind it. That's a long-term strategy.
Okay, so now you're writing copy
right.
for small business marketing products, and
right.
you're basically tying this back into the brick-and-mortar world.
Often,
it
yeah.
sounds like. So you're going offline to businesses that are already using the techniques that we use a lot of online, which is the direct sales letter for the most part. Now, are you writing copy for, you know, mailing pieces, or are you creating websites for them? How are you tying those two things in?
Well, that's a really good question. And the bottom line there is that you do what works. So, yes, I've written offline sales letters, and yes, I've done lead generation for really, really high-paying, high-ticket items up to, well, one of my clients has a consulting service. He sells at $250,000 a year. So that's almost as high as it gets. But the point is you do what works. For example, most online copywriters have a very myopic view of things. But when you deal with someone, you know, they think, okay, the product is sold online, delivered online, everything happens online, and that's the way they think of the business. But when you start dealing with people who already have an offline business or come from an offline background, even though their market is online, they don't really think that way because they know that's not the best way of doing business. For example, the most simple thing, I remember legendary copywriter Gary Halbert said was that if you, instead of sending someone to an order link on your web page, if you just get them to call a real live telephone number, you'll increase the response by 300%. And, you know, he's actually not too far wrong when you're talking about higher priced items. Especially once you get above about the $200 range, you really need to be getting people to call you. So there's a lot of really simple things. That's the first one, going online to offline. And the other way, obviously, offline to online, which is something that I play around with my friends who are business owners, because I go into a business when I'm buying something or eating, and most of the business owners there, as soon as they find out what I do and start talking to me, they want to hire me. But generally, I'm not really for hire because they don't have the time. But I do give them suggestions and tell them what to do, and we experiment a bit just for the fun. I just do it for fun more than anything. And that's how I ended up writing the report, the thread that went on the Warrior Forum, which led to this whole offline gold frenzy.
Right, and it has truly become a frenzy. I mean, I did a search on Google earlier today just because I wanted to see, you know, I typed in offline gold for online marketers. 3,400 hits. 3,400 websites are talking about this stuff.
Wow, that is amazing, isn't it?
And I know that this has been the market has always been there, but I think you really took the ideas that were just floating around for the people that are not maybe so entrepreneurial-minded. They know that some of this works, but they really hadn't put all the pieces together yet, and you've truly done that with the offline gold for online marketers, and you really did it in the thread.
I did it completely free. Do you want me to read the thread for the listeners just so they get an idea of what we're talking about?
Absolutely.
So what I did was, it was New Year's Day, and I'm always fairly generous with my ideas. First of all, that's another marketing secret anyway. If you're generous with your ideas, you build enormous credibility with the marketplace, because They know that you actually do know stuff. You give away your best ideas, then people come back to you for more and more. People have an insatiable appetite for information. So if you give them good information, they will see you as the source of good information. J. Abraham calls it preeminence in the marketplace. I now have preeminence in the marketplace as the expert on how someone with ordinary marketing skill, online marketing skills, can go to offline small business owners, because I'm the first person who ever said it, right? Which is remarkable when you think about it. I'm the first person who ever said it in a way that really got people's attention. So, yeah, I was New Year's Day, and I thought, man, what New Year's gift can I give to people? I was thinking, I'll just read it to you so you get an idea. So here's the title of it, New Year's Gift, make $1,500 today with no money down. Last night, I spent my New Year's Eve at a local restaurant packed to capacity with diners at a very high price per head. Here's what may interest you. I'm friends with the owner. This time last year, he had no real internet presence. This year, following a few simple guidelines from me, he's beginning to dominate the search engines for his local geographic search term. I should point out that this guy really, he has very little idea what he's doing. He had no idea at all what he was doing when he met me. In fact, he couldn't even put a website up. He bought some software and followed my suggestions. Anyway, and this New Year's Eve, not only did he pack his restaurant to capacity, he had so many calls from his website, he could have booked every table twice over. Now, keep in mind, this guy is pretty much an internet newbie. In other words, the average person on the Warrior Marketing Forum knows more about internet marketing than this guy does, and he's made many, many thousands of dollars on New Year's Eve, and he'll make plenty more from the customers he's got from New Year's Eve simply by following a few simple geographic search term principles. Like, we talk a lot about selling ebooks and information products online, but I'm looking at both business models, and I can tell you geographical marketing of local brick and mortar businesses is easier, competition is low, and the potential for profit is enormous. Best of all, the market is so humongous that every warrior on this forum could be actively working with 10 to 20 businesses in his local area, and it wouldn't even be a blip on the Google landscape. You can make money from this in several ways. All you need is some basic SEO knowledge, how to use long-tail keywords and get backlinks will do it, which both of which are really pathetically simple, and some knowledge of how to get a web page online. And here's how you can charge. You can charge a consulting fee for helping local business owners optimize what they're doing so they top the search engines for terms like East Brooklyn coffee shop. You know, that's going to make a coffee shop some money if they're number one for East Brooklyn coffee shop. I mean, but think about this. Imagine if a business was number one for East Brooklyn house extension. Now, that's going to make that business a lot of money. Easy to do.
Absolutely. I'm still amazed when I just reading the thread and going back over and putting my own plan together to go out and do this.
It's very simple. But the thing is, it's simple to us, but it's a complete revelation to business owners. They don't understand any of this. So we'll keep going. Okay, so if you can charge a consulting fee for helping local business owners optimize what they're doing so they can top the search engine, and you can show them how to turn that traffic into subscribers and buyers. And I wrote, here's a tip, give away free gifts from the website and use calling a live phone number as a call to action. That's what this guy did on his restaurant website. I told him, don't even think about getting to email you. Tell them to call you on the phone number. I know what happens when people email. So. Okay. Then second way you can make money is you can charge for setting up and or running websites for local businesses. This is a huge money spinner, with many companies paying $5,000 to $20,000 plus get a website up, plus monthly hosting fees. And the websites they pay for rarely produce real sales. So most businesses are really being stung. They don't even realize it, because they're told they need a website up. They know they really need a website up and an online presence. What they don't realize is websites can actually make you real money, and you can integrate them with your offline marketing and produce real sales, improve your sales process, improve your follow-up process, improve your prospecting process. You can do a myriad of different things online by combining it with what you're doing offline. Okay, so if you were setting up websites, you could charge an upfront fee plus an ongoing fee to set up a website and add content on a regular basis, optimizing the site and whatever offers the business is currently running. And it's very, very easy to get a small business owner to write you a check for $1,000 to $5,000. Remember I was talking before about find a hungry market first?
Right, right.
Wow. Small business owner, they don't actually get much hungrier than that in terms of someone you can get to easily, because the second part is find a hungry market that's easy to get to. So if we're talking small business owner, they write checks every day or every week of you know, $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000. They're used to doing it. It does not worry them at all to give you a check for $1,500 for something that's actually going to make them money. Most of the checks they write aren't going to make them money at all. So let's say you just talk to a local business owner without a website and offer to set one up for $1,500 plus $100 a month or $50 a month. Now, I'd never work that cheap, but it's a bit of a no-brainer for a business owner if you can demonstrate you have a website online that looks anything like decent. Actually, you don't need one. In fact, I have stories here from people who've gone out and didn't have websites, didn't have business cards, and were pretty much, they'd only been looking at online marketing for a few months, and they got checks in their hand. They left the business with checks in their hand to do this. Because remember, you can outsource. So there's no reason, if you have enough online marketing skill to explain to a business owner how he can make more money with a few changes to his website, you have enough skill to do that. You don't even need to listen to the rest of this audio. You don't need to buy my report. You don't need to do anything except get off your ass, go down and talk to a local business owner about have a nice casual conversation with him about his website and how you might be able to give him some ideas on improving his marketing and making some sales. Simple.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I just want to say how simple that is, because today I went out and I just sort of drove around my small town. It's about, 30,000 people strong, but there are a lot of small mom-and-pop businesses. I just popped my head in and I say, this is a new business. Or I just moved back to the town. I hadn't seen you here before. I was wondering if I could find you online. I did that in 3 businesses. None of them had a website. None of them. I mean, she was like, well, here's my email address. I'm like, a Yahoo email address she gives me. And this is a shop. She has, she makes custom jewelry. And I'm thinking to myself, you don't have a website. I'll be back to see you tomorrow. I've got to go pick my mom up right now. That's the only reason I'm not staying.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, it's definitely, definitely doable.
It's so easy. It's ridiculous. You know, I've found the last couple of years, I really have to be careful how I talk to business owners when I'm out, because about 15 minutes in a conversation with me, they're so excited. They want to just give me a check for making over the website. I just don't have time for it. So it gets a bit sublime. It's like, I had my barber, one time I mentioned, hey, you can improve your marketing, and he's, really? And I realized, oh no, this is going the wrong direction. So ever since then, when I go in there, I talk to his son about how he can pick up girls better so I can avoid the conversation. It's funny. I'm thinking about taking a camera with me when I go out to get someone to film me talking to business owners, because it's like a comedy. Anyway, yeah, it is very easy, and I want to mention, a lot of it is the tone when you talk to a business owner. What am I telling them? Nothing you can't find on free forums, like particularly Warrior Forum. You know, how to target long-tail keywords, how to get multiple keyword phrases to the top of Google, one phrase per page. Have a call to action on every page. I mean, many people think that that's really pretty basic, but go have a look at some small business websites, and you'll see that it's like a picture of the product or something. I don't tell anybody what to do I'm confused when I'm looking at their web page. I can't even imagine what someone who's actually searching for something is going to think.
I think one of the biggest things, though, is that for the local businesses that I did find online, when I went to search for them, they weren't where I thought they would be. I ended up going into like a Yellow Pages ad to find their website, because they weren't optimal. I mean, there was nowhere on their website. None of their meta tags were set up. They didn't have keyword phrases, nothing. So even if I wanted to find them online, I wouldn't have been able to.
What's really interesting about that is how pathetically easy it is to get to the top of Google for geographical search terms. Even if there's competition, and you could never knock off the number one, usually you find number two or three is a piece of cake. I mean, I've done it in literally like 48 hours with one backlink. Basically what that means is Google is just going to list anything near the top there that's got the keyword phrase optimized as soon as it finds a page.
Right.
So that's true for a lot of these geographical search terms. So that's really, really simple. And you don't even need to understand how to do that. That's the amazing thing, because you can outsource that so easily. It's not funny, but I can tell you how to do it. Just put the keyword phrase in the title of the page. That's all you need to do, and just have some, you know,
right,
100 words of content on the page. That'll do it.
Yes, but they usually have the business name, and you know the business owner's name, and every now and again, you know, the address is on there. A couple of sites that I found didn't even have a phone number, and like you said, there was no call to action. One looked just like the postcard that they send me in the mail every week.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what their website was. So.
And you have to feel sorry for these guys, because a lot of them, it's hard to say they've been ripped off, because you have to also keep in mind that a lot of these guys got websites built back in, you know, when we were still working out how to do search engine optimization, and all sorts of wacky ideas going around, black hat techniques that we didn't realize were black hat. I never used them, but I know a lot of people did. And then, of course, those websites disappeared off of the internet landscape very quickly, because once Google got its act together with its search, I'm old enough to remember when Google wasn't the hottest thing online. You know, I've been on this line long enough to remember that, and I remember when Google suddenly became really popular. I remember first using it, thinking, "Wow, this is great! Better than that MSN rubbish."
Right.
You never
right.
find what you want. 53 of the pages that come up are all identical, and.
Well, I remember when Google was online. There were signs all over my university that said, "Try a new search engine." So
the point of that is that I don't really like to say that web designers have ripped off business owners, but in effect, that is the actual effect. Some of these business owners have spent $5,000 to $10,000 on getting a website up. It's been a while for a lot of them, and they're perfectly happy to spend. They're not even going to think twice. If you've invested $5,000 to $10,000, someone comes in and says, "Look, things have changed. You know, there are far more advanced techniques we can use to actually get your real sales on your website now." He's not going to think twice about spending $1,500 just showing him a few reasonable ideas. So it's not very difficult to convert even people who've pretty much had a website that's been a complete flop for them.
Right, and the fact that you can show them that they can actually recoup, because they were not looking at getting the website built as an investment anyway. It was an expenditure. I mean, that's how they were looking at it. They weren't looking for an ROI. So
that's,
to be able to
that's
turn
true
that
in a lot
out,
of cases.
You know, and it really, the people who were looking for an ROI and are not receiving it, well, talk about your market jumping up and down in front of you. So
that's very, very true. And I'll tell you something else. Now, it's not going to be it's really, really easy for me to do this, and I knew that. But when I wrote the post, I thought, you know, the bottom line here is if you had any online marketing experience, pretty much hanging around an online marketing forum for 3 months would probably do it, because you know enough about autoresponders. Another thing I talk about a lot with offline businesses is using an autoresponder. In other words, catch the contact details of every customer you get into the shop in somewhere or another, offer a prize. If it's a restaurant, they just say, "We give out a free meal every month," and just give everybody a free, say, "Sorry, we didn't win the free meal. Here's a free discount." I'm just throwing out marketing ideas here that we've used that work, just to give you an idea of the possibilities to make you think a bit. The point is that you catch all the contact details. So you're running your own autoresponder. You're catching all their email addresses in your autoresponder. The staff can enter the email addresses of customers at the business online. Most businesses now actually have a computer that's online most of the time. So you've got the interface there. Everything's ready to go. They just don't have the expertise to do it. And then they can follow up on their customers. If it was a dentist, for example, we talked about this with someone the other day. So a dentist, he could be sending out emails to his customers. He put them into a special autoresponder and sends out emails timed exactly like the first day. It says, if you specifically for what problem they just had fixed. So if you have soreness in your jaw today, that's normal. But if it's worse than that, or if it smells funny, just call us straight away and we'll make sure you're okay. And then 30 days later, it's time to come back for your extra checkup. And then 3 months later, it's time to come back for your regular checkup. So the possibility for those kinds of automatic follow-up without any work on the part of the staff, except for helping you set it up to begin with, are enormous.
Right. And now those businesses are already typically doing that, but they're sending it through the mail. I mean, I know my dentist doesn't, you know, he's not online. He sends me a reminder. He sends me a card. I usually get the little postcard about a week after the appointment should have been made.
Yeah, but that's good too, and businesses really should do that. But there's possibilities there that they can't do. For example, they can't send you a card that will get to you in time if you want to send them a message that they'll read in the next 12 hours.
Right. Very
But true. You can do that online. It's a piece of cake. Just enter them in an autoresponder, it's done. So there's all sorts of possibilities there, and automating, of course, which reduces staff time and so forth. Now, getting back to my point, obviously I could do this because I have the marketing experience, the internet experience, and so forth, but I was pretty sure from my experience with the people I worked with, this restaurant owner in particular, who, quite frankly, would make pretty much every person who ever went to the Warrior Forum look like an absolute online marketing genius, because he's got very little idea what he's doing, right? He's just followed a few very simple instructions from me. He hasn't even done much. That's the other thing. He's just put up a few pages the right way. That's it. And so I thought, okay, I'm pretty sure that anyone can do this. And so then after I put up the thread, it took a couple of days, and then suddenly stories started coming through. One of my favorites was Matt Jutras. I'm not sure if I've got the pronunciation wrong, so I apologize to Matt if I did, but well, I love this story. He talks about how he walked out of a store with a check for $1,500. You want me to read the story for you? Story. This information just made me $3,000, and on top of that, an ongoing $250 a month. There's a local pet store here that specializes in pure breed pocket dogs. You know, the cutesy kind that Paris Hilton wannabe stuff in their Gucci bags and walk around in the mall with. I think these dogs look like rats and gerbils, but each to their own. That's very funny. These things sell for $1,300 and up. The other day, after reading this thread, I found the website of said dog store and almost had to throw up at how terrible it is. It is absolutely doing nothing for this person's business. It is the type of site that a business has made up just to say that they have a website and aren't stuck in the 17th century. So today I walked in and chatted up the owners, who also mind the store. I asked them how business was doing, and they indicated it was lukewarm, mostly because we're in the post-holiday season. I then inquired what marketing they were doing. That's a really key question, that one. They have a Yellow Pages ad and do some local coupon ads twice a year or so. I then asked, incidentally, the reason that's a key question, it's another point about small business owners. Most of them, probably 99% of small business owners, really do not have any kind of clue about marketing. They really don't. And even the ones who think they do, really don't. So it's a really small percentage who really understand marketing. So they have Yellow Pages ads, do some local coupon ads twice a year or so. I then asked how many people came in the store, look around a bit, and then claim that they'll come back at a later time when they see a dog they like. And he says their inventory of dogs changes weekly. See, this is very clever what he does here. This is what I actually teach in the report, is to look at the sales process and start to get an understanding of what their customers are doing. And that, then you can look at the key points where you might be able to improve the sales process online. So he's identified the people come in the store, look around a bit, and say they'll come back a bit later when they see a dog they like. Anyway, when he asked that question, they said, well, probably 95% of people do that. And of these 95%, about half take a business card or flyer. Of those half, only about 5% come back and actually end up buying something. And wow. Matt said, oh, it's not bad, but I can improve it. And spent the next hour explaining how, and then signing them up for a $3,000 complete site overhaul and $250 monthly fee for hosting and monthly update. Like, he goes into more detail about how he's going to do it. But what I liked in this one that was interesting was his ideas for doing it. Here's his plan. He comes in once a month and films their new inventory, the dog, using a flip video recorder, which is a very cheap video recorder. He says, I will record about 90 seconds of video footage per month. I love his language. I usually have around 12 to 15 dogs. Each dog's video clip gets uploaded to YouTube. Now, you think, if you're the business owner hearing this, is this going to get you excited?
Absolutely. I mean, my dog is going to be, I've got a clip of my dogs that I can, yeah.
All over YouTube, on my website. I'm thinking, wow, okay. And now he's smart enough to not only give them the idea, he's given them the end user perception, right? The effect of this is twofold. Customers that have already purchased a dog will probably check out a video, fall in love with one of these dogs, and rush in to buy it. Very good, right?
Right. So
customers who walk in but don't like any of the dogs they currently have can get a monthly audio-visual update of the store's inventory from the comfort of their home or workplace. Now, what's the second thing he's done there? He's given people who come in the store a really, really great incentive to sign up for email updates.
Absolutely, so because they're already wanting a dog. They just don't have exactly what they want.
Well, a big mistake offline businesses make that most online businesses aren't stupid enough to make, because they've heard it a million times. You've heard a million times online, the money's in the list, right?
Right.
It's in your list of customers and prospects. Offline, nobody's heard that. They're like just wandering around, especially retail stores that you'll be walking into, or any, you know, dealing directly with with customers, it's really rare that they capture prospects. Some of them will capture a database of clients and do absolutely nothing with it.
Right.
You know,
right.
But what he's done here is he's keyed in on something that's really important. He's helped the business owner get a really sexy way for people to sign up. So he's building them a list. And if he's really smart, he's going to put that list on his own autoresponder, so he has control over the business a little bit. He has a little bit of control. So he had an AWeber autoresponder. It's unlimited autoresponders anyway. So he could have 500 different businesses all on his autoresponder without any trouble at all. And he has a little bit of control. You know, if they try to do something funny or something, he's still got the list, so he's got a bit of negotiating power. And he says, I estimate this will be about 2 or 3 hours of actual labor per month. If I start getting too busy, I know someone I can pay $50 to do it for me. So $200 a month for sitting on my ass. Nice. And he said, oh, by the way, I walked out of the store with a check for $1,500. Always get half up front and wait till it clears before you start. I actually agree with that. There's some very good reasons for taking money off people up front, but we won't go into too much detail now. It's in my report. In any case.
Right. Now, the report, how can our listeners get that report? Because we haven't actually mentioned it, and I know that you released it initially as a Warrior Special Offer.
Yeah, and it's still going at the Warrior Special Offer price of $19.99, which can't really last forever. I figure the report has to be, look, put it this way. In the history of marketing, I'm pretty sure there's nobody who's ever put out some kind of money-making report where somebody with no assets, no money up front, and very minor skill level can start out the first day and make $1,500. Pretty rare. I've never even heard of it happening. So the report is clearly worth a whole lot more than $19.99 to you. Even if you had to learn the online marketing, you could do that within 3 months of floating around the Warrior Forum and getting completely free stuff online. The free stuff online would blow the minds of any business owner you talk to. So if you go to copywritingone.com/WSO.
Okay, so that's copywritingone.com/WSO,
and it's WSO is in small case characters.
Okay, so we've talked about some of the secrets to getting the business owner to actually hand you a check before you leave the store. So, you know, that's getting them to commit. You've got their interest. They know they want to do it. So now you have to ask them to commit. And for, I know, a lot of our listeners, asking for money is very hard to do. I mean, I don't know why it's hard to do. Actually, I probably do. I mean, I understand why it's hard to do, because you're still skittish about it. You're still thinking, there's still a little doubt maybe in the back of your head, oh, they're not going to give me that much. But they really will if you know how to ask them properly.
Well, you know, I could probably stand on my head and talk gibberish and say, give me $1,500 to some of these business owners, and they'll still give me a check. But not so much. There is an element in asking properly. It's not as big a deal as you might think. The most important thing is to understand the value you're actually giving these people, I think. Because if they don't have a website, the next web designer who comes along is probably going to charge them somewhere between $3,000 and $10,000 for a website, or lucky or unlucky, depending on which way you look at it, they'll charge them $500 for a website, but never, ever going to get them any traffic. What you're doing is you're giving them something that's actually going to make them money. It only makes them an extra $50 a week in sales. That's $2,500 extra for them that they never would have gotten the other way. And to do that minor amount, the offline business is already making a lot of turnover, is nothing. That's one of the big things, is understanding in your own mind. So, and it's also exactly what you have to do with your offline business owner, is establish the value of what you're giving them, and then you just simply say, and to get started, you just give me a check now for $1,500. That's all you have to do. But the secret is to practice it so that when you say it, it comes across like, I take, you know, one or two of these checks every day. This is really no big deal.
Right.
That's the whole attitude that's important.
Okay, now that says quite a lot. It's the attitude that's important.
The attitude is more important.
Definitely. If I walked up to a business owner and was like, well, okay, if you want to get started, that would be $100. They're probably not going to give me the money.
If you're doing this right and you're talking to a business owner, you're probably going to be talking to for an hour or two, And I tell you right now, you talk to a business owner for an hour or two, he's going to think there's something wrong with you if you don't charge him $1,500. Seriously. I can tell you a funny story about a guy who lives just down, used to have a business live just down the road from me, somehow found me and asked me, oh, can you come in, maybe give me some ideas? And I went in there. I spoke to him for an hour and a half, and I walked out of there. He'd agreed to give me 25% of his profits.
Mm.
Substantial size business. And you know what the funniest part of that story is? I didn't even bother doing it. It wasn't worth my time and effort. So they expect, if you're giving them good marketing ideas, they expect you to charge them. It's not really a big deal. Plus, you've got the whole website thing going on. Can we actually, so that's the end part. Maybe we should go straight back to the start because we really didn't cover the first step as well as we should have, I think.
Let's see. So, yes, we don't want the business owner to think of us as a salesperson. So, I mean, how do you walk in and start a conversation that doesn't sound salesy to a business
right.
owner?
Very good. Well, the first thing is if you're buying something from that, helps an awful lot, eh? So obvious, but, you know, if you're a customer. So rather than you can actively go in and buy things, but just think of when you're actually out already buying things off businesses. Have a chat to the business owner. You're already complete. He's thinking of you completely differently if you've bought something off him. He's not going to even think of you as a salesperson if you bought something off him. The other part is the way you draw people in the conversation. Ask about the business owner. But the biggest secret is that 70% of the whole of our successful sales process is simply rapport. So if you're completely concerned about selling someone your online marketing services, then you're going to really screw this up royally. But if you're genuinely concerned, genuinely interested in the person, genuinely interested about making them more money, and you really care about them, that will come across. And that's actually, I couldn't actually tell you a bigger secret. So you take time to build rapport. There's an old saying about FORM for having a conversation, family, occupation, recreation, money. So you live here in this area, you're married, you have kids. How long have you been in this business? How did you get started? Those kinds of questions. Usually to get into a marketing conversation, how long have you been in this business? How did you get started? It's a really good one because guess what they're going to ask you next? How long have you been, you know, they're going to say, so what do you do? That's
very true.
Easy, right?
Very true.
And then you can let them ask you the questions, which is perfect. So you can say, oh, you know, I'm an online marketing expert. Or you can say, I have my own business helping people with their online marketing, which is even better. Because there's a big secret of building rapport with a business owner. Business owners hate salespeople. I mean, I've been in business so long. I hate getting salespeople calling me. Now, I was a salesperson myself for many, many years. So I actually taught, I was in the Amway business and taught 300 distributors how to sell. I taught all my staff in retail stores how to sell. You know, and I was one of the best salesmen ever sold shoes, ever did anything. So, but I still hate them. And what I hate is the incompetence now, but business owners hate them because they have to talk to them every day and they waste their staff time, they waste their time. But if you're a business owner, if they see you as another business owner, you're instantly on the same level as them. Because one of the big secrets a lot of people at the forum for it never really caught on to was that business owners don't have many peers. If you're an employee, you've got all the people you work with. They're on the same level as you. They think the same as you. Business owner, the buck stops with you, and often you've got nobody to talk to. You can't go say to your employee, yeah, I'm not sure if we're going to be able to pay the rent this month because the sales aren't big enough.
Right.
You can't say something like that.
Right.
Because all sorts of things you can't share with other people, but to another business owner, you can. So you're on the same level immediately. And the other thing is, even though business owners really hate sales, people waste their time, etc., they just love wasting time talking to other business owners. I mean, it freaks me out. I see it all the time. Yeah, I did it too. It was great. It was sort of like almost legitimate if you're talking to another business owner. And watch it yourself. You can observe this yourself. If you're in a business, you watch a business owner from next door come in. The business owner will barely talk to his own customers and staff, but when the other business owner from next door comes in, they'll be talking for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, even an hour.
Right, but it's like it's really like having a mastermind session because, as you said, you know, they look at that other business owner as a peer.
And it's better than that for you because not only are you a business owner, you're a business owner who helps people with their online marketing. So now not only have you got an excuse to have a rest from working, which business owners are human too, right? He's also got a really legitimate reason that he can excuse he can give to his spouse, his employees, etc. As soon as he's finished talking, he can say, that guy's going to help us make a fortune with our online marketing. And he's off the hook if anyone gives him a hard time about it, right? So he can waste hours with it. So I sold a lot of things to businesses all through the years. And as soon as I started talking online marketing to them, I simply could not believe how easy it was to talk to them. It's like they're coming at you constantly trying to get more information and get more help. It's just too easy. Which is one of the reasons I knew the average person would be able to do this. Not hard. It's just not hard at all.
Absolutely. The hardest thing about doing this is taking the action.
Yes.
That's truly the hardest thing about doing this.
That gets back to my little formula.
It's a formula. I have an acronym, YCGRSOYA.
Yes, the YCGRSOYA formula, which is you can't get rich sitting on your ass. the observation I have about the people who've actually gone out and done this is that they all seem to be making money really fast. A lot of them, their first day out, they're making money. Like, here we go, Robert Mascuti from Los Angeles, California. I have some fantastic news to report. This is one day after he emailed me. I went and talked to some business owners, made that one business owner. He was clearly highly motivated. I hit it out of the park first time out, even before I had a chance to finally read your report, even before I saw the goal in its face. He hadn't read the whole report before he went out and talked to someone. I went out and got my first $1,500 gig Saturday afternoon, Los Angeles time. Just using the information you gave me, I landed a $1,500 project. Easy. And then he goes, you demand. I don't know if he's black or white, but I can tell you right now, it wouldn't matter whether you're black or white, male, female, old, young. It's not going to make any difference. This is very, very easy. If you're weird and geeky looking, they're going to think, oh, my God, it's another Bill Gates, one of those internet geniuses. He's going to make me rich. If you look really professional, they're going to go, oh, wow, he's really professional. He's going to make me millions. If you look really old and stuff, they're going to go, oh, he's old. He's probably been on the internet before it even began. He's going to make me millions. I mean, it's not hard to work out their thinking. Right? It's just too easy. Very funny. Oh, dear.
Right. I mean, it's, you know, like I say, with the three businesses that I talked to today, and I was really just out killing time, as it were.
Yeah.
I was playing chauffeur today. And I didn't want to drive all the way home and all the way back into town, and it just wasn't worth it. So I said, I'll, you know, spend a little time out. And I just walked into these, and they were truly small businesses. You know, they're in homes that have been turned into business properties. And I just, you know, looking around like a customer, I mean, I might have been a customer if I'd seen something that I really wanted to purchase, but I just struck up a conversation because they're there in their business every single day. I mean, the sign on the doors, they open at 10, they close at 8, Monday through Friday. So if the one business that I went into, if she doesn't have an employee, then she's there 10 to 8, Monday through Friday. And when is she going to sit down and go online and say, how can I get my business online? Probably she's not, because she's trying to make sure that she covers the rent, trying to make sure she covers the utilities, still designing her jewelry, still putting, you know, she's still doing this work. So that's the fifth or sixth thing on her mind as to marketing it. You know, she's probably depending on her best friend to tell her other friends about the jewelry. Or she might do some weekend shows where people see the jewelry and give them a card. But wouldn't it be so much better for her to have photos of her jewelry online that, you know, if she gives a card at a craft show or gives a card at a jewelry show somewhere over the weekend, they can go online and order.
Or even better, if she gives them a little coupon that says, enter your name and email address here and you can win some free jewelry. Everyone's going to sign up. And you've got a big contact list that you can put in your autoresponder.
Yes. So, I'll bring that up with her tomorrow.
Exactly. Now, we're talking at the small end here. But I can tell you right now, not only can you do this and end up creating a million-dollar business, since I put out the report, which is only a few days ago, I've had two people who have seven-figure incomes contact me. And one was Willie Crawford. And he said, Andrew, prior to reading your report, I was convinced that local business people made better customers than most online prospects. They expect to spend money growing their businesses and just need for you to explain why they should spend it with you. you did a masterful job of helping me to better understand how to establish rapport with local business people and have them practically begging to give me money for my expertise. You explained to me how to show them that I really do have their best interests at heart and therefore will work harder at actually helping them grow their business. That's so important. Thank you for sharing your winning formula in such an easy-to-understand fashion. I think it was. I went out of my way to make sure that you could literally pick up the report, and at the end of it, if you didn't just go out and do it, you're just a complete idiot. Sorry for the people that bought it and didn't do anything, but you are. Sorry. That's not bad, aren't I?
Well, that's no, what I do. Mean, that's the YCGRSOYA formula.
You can't get rich sitting on your ass. Exactly.
Sitting on your ass.
And, you know, that's why I do the email coaching. It's basically people paying $499 a month for me to beat up on them and tell them to get out. But I thought, you know, what's the biggest thing that's going to stand in the way of people actually doing this? And I thought, well, they're just not going to do it. It's the only reason they're not going to succeed doing this. It's the only way you couldn't succeed doing it is not to do anything. I thought, so Whitley's already got a seven-figure business, mainly selling to offline businesses. He said, you've undoubtedly made me an extra $100,000 in 2008. I think he's thinking too small. He says, offline goal for online marketers kicks butt. So the bonus is, as far as I'm concerned, it was nice of him to say that. He's a very nice guy, Willie Crawford, and really highly respected marketer.
Absolutely, but and there's something that you have to know about Willie. The way he's selling the offline businesses, he's out walking his dog. I mean,
exactly.
He runs into a business owner, he's out walking his dog.
He's walking his dog,
as
exactly.
As he mentions, you know.
very funny story, isn't it? But the other person who called me was David Kavanagh, who I'm not related to, apart from the really feeble joke that we're sisters. But David Kavanagh contacted me and told me his feedback on the report was fantastic. It really interests me is we had a chat on the phone and he said, you know, I'd done this twice in Australia, in two different cities. We did this, and it's the businesses that we build are worth over $1 million. So you can start out making $1,500 in your first day. Or you know, I defy anyone to do this for a week and not have made $1,500 at least, quite frankly. You just have to be desperately something really, really wrong with you. Or you just be outrageously unlucky. If you did it for a month, the chance of you not making $5,000 is so low, especially if you follow the advice I give in the reports. I know you've read it, where I talk about how to get referrals, how to get testimonials and so forth. I think you should think, now, if you're listening to this, you should think to yourself, even if I just spent 2 or 3 weeks building rapport with all the business owners in my area, not even trying to tell them what I do or anything, just getting to know them and being friendly with them. So it's like 3 weeks. Let's say you saw four a day. That's not a whole lot, is it? 21 by 4 is 80 business owners. Do you think maybe if you knew 80 business owners and they all trusted you a little bit, think maybe you might be able to walk into one of their businesses and get them and have a pretty good conversation with them? They'd be pretty open to hearing you talk about online marketing. It's a bit of a no-brainer, really, isn't it?
It truly is. And actually, one thing here in the state, if you live, especially if you live in a smaller town, you know, there's a population of about 30,000, and a lot of small businesses are here. And once a month, there is a breakfast that the Chamber of Commerce holds. It's a free breakfast. All you have to do is provide a business card, and you're surrounded by all of the business owners in the area. And there's usually 20 or 30 business owners there.
Oh, yes, there's a secret to that, too, which I mentioned in the report in much more detail, which is when you go to any kind of business networking meeting, it's far better to actually spend your time working out where the business networking meetings are. There's all sorts of things like Rotary and MASH, BNI, and they're all different kinds. But nearly all of them have speakers. And I can tell you now, one of the most in-demand speakers would be someone who really knows something about internet marketing. And if you go to just one of those meetings and you're the speaker, you'll be 10 times more effective than going just as an ordinary guest, because the speaker is the person with all the credibility. You'll literally have people line up to ask you questions, and if you can't go from someone lining up to ask you, you need to get more creative. It's really not that difficult. Here's another thing about business networking meetings that most people never really realize. If a business owner is going to a business networking meeting, they fall into two major categories. One is the person who's really community-minded and is really doing very well in business but likes to give back. They're actually in the minority. The majority of people going to business networking meetings aren't actually doing that well in business. They really, really want to make more money in business. They want more clients. So they are a very, very hot prospect for internet marketing services. Very hot prospect. And the second secret is, if you do go as a guest and you're just talking to people, don't tell them what you do to begin with, because keep in mind, they're trying to sell you on their services. So what you want to do is just keep asking questions about their business. Oh, how are you selling that? How's that going? Keep asking lots of questions about what they do in their business, how they market it, what their unique selling proposition is. You know, what do they do that no one else does in their field? That's how you find that unique selling proposition. What do they do special? Ask all those kinds of questions, and you just build an enormous data about each person. And then eventually, some of these business networking people, the people are just horrible at selling their services. They just talk about themselves all day long and never think, I really want to sell something to someone, I should probably find out about them.
What do they want?
Eventually they'll ask. It'll probably take them 10 or 15 minutes, but eventually they'll ask you, oh, so what do you do? And you say, I have my own business helping people with their online marketing. And then it's not going to be hard from there. You've got all the information already. And you can go, when you were saying before about how you go and see these people, have you ever thought of actually offering them a special prize and they can enter their name and email address and you could follow up on them like for every week for a year? You know, then it's really simple from there.
So, I mean, for the listeners that haven't put this into action yet, you still got a chance.
Internet marketing, even though it is a huge niche, it's actually relatively small compared to offline business. So if every single person on the Warrior Forum and all the other major internet marketing forums actually went out and did this, would not make even the slightest difference.
Not even a dent. I mean, I don't even think that's
10%. You'll never get to it all. It's impossible.
It truly is impossible.
New businesses will be opening up faster than you could possibly get clients. And I tell you right now, you can't have that many clients. There'll be more businesses open in your town or city than in a year than you could ever possibly deal with. So that's not much of an issue.
I mean, so there's no question. There's no reason to not go out and make this happen unless you just don't want to.
Just too wimpy to get off your ass. But I honestly think the people listening to this audio would not have got this far down into the audio unless they were genuinely going to do this. And they're going to get into the special club of people who actually went out and did this and made money their first time out. You don't even have to, if you're nervous about actually taking money off someone the first time, and you've never done a website, and you're pretty much worried, you think your knowledge might be a bit dubious, or you can always just be honest and say, this is my first time. Now, I have a story here of someone who did that. Let's see. I have tons of them. This thing has only been, the report has been out less than 4 days. I'm just flooded with these stories of people who've actually done out and done this. Well, for example, this is Craig McPherson from Melbourne, Australia. We know it works in the USA. We know it works in Australia. We know it works in the UK. I dropped in on a guy who replaced my side fence here about 2 months ago. He lives close by and I see his billboard on his fence most nights I go jogging. I had a look at his site, then did some research. He isn't even listed in the most obvious of keywords. I had a chat going over the points from your report and he jumped all over it. That's a surprise, isn't it? I think we might have mentioned that's likely to happen. He asked how much. I replied, well, as you're my first client, how about you replace the fence on my other side as payment? It's a done deal. $900 worth of fence for helping him raise his revenue. Simple, right? So you don't even have to charge him money. You can just find, if you're buying a service, instead of buying it off any old person, just shop around the businesses and find one who's willing to do it for you in return for you putting a website up for them. That's getting into joint ventures. There's a whole world of opportunity out there, even if you're starting out. I did have another one here where the guy was smart enough to only charge $500 up front, but he said, this is a very important line, he said, I'd normally charge $3,000, I'll let you have it for $500, as long as you give me referrals to 5 other good business owners who'd be interested in this. And of course, she was thrilled. He probably would have got $3,000 off there. She was so happy. She was so thrilled. She goes, yeah, I know plenty of business owners. I'll send them to you. Fantastic. Why wouldn't she? It's great. And anyway, he's already taken his check for $500 and he's got meetings with these other people. I imagine by this time he's probably already taking some money off those other people too. So we're not talking rocket science here. In fact, I can tell you unequivocally that it's not rocket science because my fiance was actually a rocket scientist and I asked her and she said that's definitely not rocket science.
So we have it from the mouth of a rocket scientist?
It's not rocket
scientist.
My fiancée actually worked for Boeing as an aerospace engineer. Basically what that means is she was a rocket scientist. And she said, this is definitely not rocket science. All you have, because I'm not as smart as she is, I would say, all you have to do is get off your ass and go talk to some business owners.
Right, and it's not really that difficult to speak with them. I mean, you go into the store, 9 times out of 10, if it's a smaller concern, the business owner's there somewhere.
They're there, or you can book a time to come back.
Exactly.
So I suppose we've probably done enough. We've given them enough information. They just need to get out and go and do it. If you're listening to this, go and talk to some business owners.
Right, if you're listening to this and you still don't have offline gold for online marketers, you need to go now to copywriting1.com/WSO and get this report. You know, it'll help you. It'll give you some more ideas. But if you've listened this far in the audio, you've got everything you need to go out, find the businesses. You know that you need some SEO skills. And you might need to know how to build a website, or at least know what a website looks like.
Well, I give you one more story before we go. It'd be a nice one. So it's copywriting1.com/WSO, lowercase. One story. I like the story because the guy's a bit of a character. He says, if you are interested in buying this and you haven't, I only think you should have a dear friend or loved one take you for a psychiatric evaluation. I'm not going to lie. I bought the report because I was skeptical. I would have been too, to be honest. He talks about how he sold shoes. He sold Yellow Pages advertising. And he says, I thought to myself, this guy's going to try and give a pipe dream, and I want to read it so I can nail him like a sledgehammer. So he bought it. And he said, I literally wound up slapping myself on the head. With all the skills I have in internet marketing, the skills I gained from selling, etc., I can't believe I didn't think of this on my own. It was literally a big duh moment. Duh. I can honestly say, yeah, I'll be starting my business this week. He'll bring me a very, very solid income. And he says, if you buy this guide, read it, digest it, and most important, act on it, you too can be very profitable. And if you're listening to this, well, you don't need to buy the report. I would actually recommend you buy it because it's going to save you a little bit of pain if you read, particularly the stuff on building rapport and how to talk to the business owners. It will make it a little bit easier. But honestly, if you actually went out right now after listening to this audio and went down and talked to some business owners and then came back and read the report, you'd probably get more out of it because knowledge without action is completely useless. You learn from the feedback of action. So when you learn properly by actually doing something.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Andrew, I truly want to thank you tonight for being on Get Caught Thriving, because the people listening here know that there's only one way to get caught, and that's to get caught thriving. So if you're not taking action, whose fault is that? So again, you can get your copy of the report at copywriting1.com. That's the numeral 1.com/WSO. Andrew, do you have any final thoughts for our listeners this evening?
Yeah, well, I should say I've been interviewed on many, many different radio stations, and you are an exceptional interviewer. That's the first thing I'd say for your first time out. It's very impressive indeed. And my last statement, of course, would have to be, you can't get rich sitting on your ass. So just have enough guts just to put your feet on the pavement and go have a nice casual conversation with a few business owners. It's really not that hard. Once you get beyond the first, you know, reluctance to do it, you'll find, geez, what was I worried about that for? That was quite fun, and they liked me. So
again, Andrew, I want to thank you. I truly enjoyed this inaugural guest for Get Caught Thriving. I would love to have you back on very soon. You've got so many other things that I'd love to talk to you about. And you can hear Get Caught Thriving at blogtalkradio.com/GetCaughtThriving.